are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts its money where its fantasies are. On the Fantasy Sports Network, as the countdown is on, man. We are less than 48 hours away from the start of the college football season. We're a little more than 48 hours away from the biggest fight of the year, Conor McGregor and Floyd Mayweather. You can feel the circus-like atmosphere in the air surrounding this fight right now. There's a buzz going on right now. All right, there's a buzz, man. I can't walk out of my condo without people asking me, hey, what's going to happen in this fight? Do you think Conor has a chance? And it's a pretty short answer. Hell no. He does not have a chance. All right, we're going to ask camera two, Drew. This isn't a rock show, Drew, all right? I don't mind if you guys want to flick the lights on and off, and if it's going to be cool, you know, at least make it purple and pink and different stuff like this. I don't know, like, what the hell's going on here? Like, what's going on here? Like, I'm not going to melt down or anything like that, but, you know. What did Christian Bale say? You know, I can't really say it, but I got to tell you, like, I don't want to go down this route of Chris Berman. Have any of you ever worked in TV before? Like, you flick the lights and you test the lights before the show starts, not once the host starts talking. Like, we've been sitting here talking for the last 5 minutes about the Conor fight. We start the show, they're like, oh, you better change the lights. Yeah, thanks. Thanks. All right, so where was I? Ted Stefanski's going to join us, all right? At least I hope. Teddy's going to join us. Joe Lisi's going to join us. And I'm going to join Joe Lisi and Rich Sermonello every Saturday morning. College football Saturdays, man. We're going to be breaking it down. You know, Rich and Joe did a great job last year on the Fantasy Sports Radio Network. We're re-upping it this year. It's going to be on the Dish Network, television, and radio simulcast. I'll be joining the boys every Saturday morning. I think I'm going to be joining them at like 10:24 a.m. and then 11:24 a.m. With my best bets of the day. Can't wait. And listen, no one loves college football as much as Joe Lisi does. You're going to be able to hear his. Everybody's like counting down the days. Oh, NFL, when's the NFL start? What about that Floyd fight? Joe Lisi's thinking, holy crap, man, we're about 42 hours away from that Hawaii UMass game. It's coming. All right, so we got a lot of stuff to get to on the program today, including our main man, Babano. Poor Babano, man. I told Babano, listen, we're going to get you on Friday, but then Warren Sharp, we got a lot of stuff to work out here. We got to figure out the lights. We got to figure out the guests. Yeah, one thing we don't have to figure out is our picks. Our picks have been rock solid, 9-3 on the week so far. My one loss last night, what are you going to do? You know, I'm on the Dodgers. The dude pitched a no-hitter. You know, hard to believe. I don't know how many baseball games they played. I wish I would have looked this up, but I don't even thinking about this right now. How many games have they played in baseball history? It's not as many as we thought. I've done this before, and I talked about this earlier in the year. I think it's really only like, I don't know, 500,000 or something. It wasn't as many as I thought, but it's still a hell of a lot. They've been playing baseball since like, you know, 1984 or something. 1884. Camera 2, Drew thinks 1984. That's when the league was founded. 18. You don't often say that, 1884, but whatever, right? They've been playing baseball a long time. That was the first time ever that a dude had a no-hitter through 9 innings and lost in the 10th inning on a home run. Crazy-ass baseball game last night. Thanks to Logan Forsythe for blowing that perfect game, too. Seriously, dude, you're really starting to upset me, but that's besides the point as well. All right, so listen, there's a ton of stuff going on. We got some great guests, so let's get right down to business. There is a ton of stuff going on this week, obviously, but I'm going to talk about a story right now that very few people are talking about. This one's really flying under the radar. Now, listen, there's this kid. His name is Mitchell Robinson. All right, so Mitchell Robinson, he's like 18 years old. He's projected to be an NBA lottery pick. He's that good. All right, he's a 7-footer. People are comparing him to like an Anthony Davis type of player. He's 7 feet tall, but he's got good hands. He can move around. He can do a lot of things on the court. So the kid's an NBA lottery prospect, a sure shot, you know, lottery deal type of thing. He shocks the college basketball world when he tells everybody, where are you going to go play, man? Duke? Kansas? Kentucky? Michigan? Michigan State? No, man, I'm going to Western Kentucky. So he goes to Western Kentucky. which raised a lot of eyebrows as to, as in, let's just be real, how much did they freaking pay him? Like, what do you mean you're going to Western Kentucky? Listen, the Hilltoppers have a decent football program. They suck at basketball, all right? Like, you know, like, Western Kentucky? Well, it turns out his godfather was an assistant coach at Western Kentucky. But his godfather abruptly just stepped down from the coaching staff, and then Robinson abruptly split Western Kentucky. Now, listen, I'm not here to talk about this from, you know, from a shady perspective, but clearly something happened here. Now, I should note, this happens all the freaking time, all right? College basketball is like laced with scumbags, okay? It just is, and we'll get to this in a second. It just is. So, this happens all the time. You'll get a big-time recruit and a high school coach will say, you know, I wouldn't mind you being a college coach. So, basically, you know, the college, the high school coach will become an assistant on the college team if, you know, the high school coach can deliver some big-time players. This is common. It happens everywhere. There's nothing really shady. You know, it's a little shady, but you know what I mean. It is what it is, and there's nothing wrong with it. So I'm not accusing Western Kentucky of doing anything here, but let's just be real. The whole thing's kind of strange. But where I am going with this is Mitchell Robinson. Now, he could have tried to get a waiver, and he can sit it out and play college basketball next year. And it's funny because the college coaches are telling him to do that. And the NBA guys want him to do that as well. And it's funny because Robinson says, you know what? I don't need to go. You guys already told me I'm a lottery pick. Why do I need to go to school? I'm not going to go to school. I'm going to spend the next 9 months preparing for the draft. Thank you. Or I can go play overseas. So where I'm going with this is it's amazing to me that more kids don't do this. All right. Now, flying behind the scenes right now, because there's so much going on in the sports world, is the fact that Adam Silver doesn't like the one and done thing. The NBA, they want to change it. They want to make it that you have to play 2 years of college basketball now, which is wholeheartedly unfreaking American. We're not in North Korea. You can't force an adult to play for free somewhere. And if I was a kid, and I hate to say this because I love college athletics, but if I was an NBA prospect, why would I go play for free for Coach Krzyzewski and get yelled at him? You know the Alabama football coaching staff are making $17 million this year? $17 million. What are the kids getting? Nothing. Seriously, Nick Saban's yelling at them all the time. Do this, do that. They're getting nothing. Why would I go play for free for Duke? You know, like, or why would I go play for free for Kentucky or Kansas? I'll go play with Marbury in China. I'll make $3.5 million. And you sorry son of a bitches in the NBA are still going to draft me anyways. Don't give me this crap. Well, it's better if you're in North America. Yeah, I really heard Dante Exum, right? What did he go, fifth overall? You know, I really heard Emmanuel Mudiay, right? Yeah, Mudiay played overseas. You know, we go down the list here. It's amazing to me. But the thing is, you know, people as a whole are cowards. We see it with the NFL players. The NFL players, you know, we'll see if they actually walk. They should walk. It'll be in 2020. There'll be no NFL football. They should walk. But I'm dead serious. If I was a college kid, you know, if I was a college prospect kid, and I was a high school star, and I'd be thinking to myself, well, I could go play for Duke and let that institution make a lot of money off my back, or I could go play in Australia or China for a year, make a couple of $1 million, and get drafted in the NBA next year anyways. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues.
In 2016, Scott Engel predicted an impressive second season from Melvin Gordon. Jake Seeley recommended Jordan Howard. Bobby McMahon forecasted a Jay Ajayi breakthrough. George Kurtz saw a big year coming from Matt Ryan. And Joe Galina picked Rishard Matthews as one of his top sleepers. These predictions turned fantasy owners into champions, and the same crew returns this year with more savvy calls in the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package at rotoexperts.com. Don't miss the calls that create winners. Register now and enter free radio at checkout for a special discount.
Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morency. All right, we got a lot of stuff to get to on the program. We've got some great guests for you. We've got our main man, Ted Savransky, joining us from Las Vegas. We've got Joe Lisi. Man, Joe's great when it comes to college football. He lives and breathes college football. Joe doesn't give a crap, man, about the NFL kicking off, all right? Joe doesn't care about the fight. Joe cares about college football. Joe's counting down the hours right now. He wants to know if the Beavers are going to be better this year. Will they improve on their four wins from last year? Can Coach Anderson turn this thing around? What about Coach Bobo? Sheriff Bobo in Colorado State. We got a lot of stuff to get to. And there's fight fever in the air as well. So let's send it to Las Vegas, Nevada right now. And we can't forget our main man, Babano, will join us, talk some CFL, NFL preseason. Let's send it to Vegas right now. Ted Savransky. Teddy.
Marency. What's a good word today, my friend?
You know, Teddy, I've actually got a jump in my step. You know, I haven't been the happiest guy over the last couple of years, but it's the time of the year, Teddy. I don't know what it is. You know, suddenly I'm winning every baseball bet I make. I'm looking at the football games. I'm looking at the win totals. And, you know, I just feel like I'm confident. Like last night I said to myself, Teddy, why don't I become a millionaire this year? I'm thinking positive. You know, we're got to set the bar high here, right?
Well, you certainly, I mean, I saw you on Twitter talking about how you're going to eat bananas and drink orange juice now. You're going on a health kick. You're going to make $1 million this year. That's what late August brings, man. There's a set. It's not like, you know, spring training, every team's got a chance to win in the World Series. In late August, guess what? This whole football season is lining up right ahead of us, right here, right now. You know, games starting, meaningful games starting this weekend. There's reason to be optimistic. There's reason to be excited. And if you're not excited out there, what the heck are you watching us for? It's that time of year, man. Get pumped.
Yeah, and if I'm not excited, I'm in the wrong business right now. Because if I can't be excited now when everything's going on, NBA blockbuster trades, big fights, NFL, college. You know, hell, NBA regular season's around the corner. You got Vegas, and hockey's going to Vegas in a couple of months. Everything's rapidly approaching, man. So let's get down to business. Countdown to the fight. You are in Vegas right now. And you can't dispute the electricity around this thing. You know, I got to tell you, Teddy, when I take the elevator in my condo in Yuppieville, millennial, uptight, you know, Ville, people aren't asking me, hey, who do you like in Monday Night Football tonight? I can't walk 10 feet without people asking me, who do you like in the fight? You know, what's going to happen in the fight? Everywhere I go, people talk about the fight. And I don't need to tell you that they're talking about this matching a Super Bowl point spread handle.
It's the biggest fight I've ever seen. And look, I've been in Vegas. This will be my 20th football season in Vegas. I moved to Vegas in August of 98. And there's no fight that's come close to no fights match the handle, no fight match the hype. And there's been plenty of fights. It's not like there's been no fights over the last 20 years. This fight has captured the public's attention in a way that most fights don't. And obviously you've got a guy who's 49-0 battling against a guy who's never been in the ring before. I've heard, and literally, I mean, I can't tell you how many people have said, this is the best bet I've ever seen. Mayweather's the best bet. Oh, my God. Mayweather can't possibly lose. McGregor's got no chance. No one's ever hit Mayweather. He's undefeated. You know, guys like, this is the go to the safety deposit box type of bet. You know, he's like, this is all in. And multiple people have had given me this particular opinion. People from different facets of life, shall we say, not just all sports bettors or guys who focus on this for a living. So when all these people are telling me this is the best fight they've ever seen and this is your go all in and let's go to the safety deposit box, already I'm nervous. All right. When you start telling me that laying $5 to win a dollar in a boxing match is the best bet you've ever seen, I say you got to make more bets. Yeah. There are better bets out there in my mind than this one. I'm not going to get involved. I will not have one dime on this fight. I rented the pay-per-view. I'm having people over on Saturday night. I will watch it for entertainment purposes, but you're not getting me to the betting window laying five to win one on Mayweather with a 40-year-old guy who hasn't fought in 2 years when everybody that I know is saying, best bet ever, best bet ever. To me, that's a red flag.
I got to assume that we can get a better number at Bet Online behind your head right there than we can get in Vegas. And that's the thing. The Vegas number's a little higher. You know, Teddy, yesterday it was as low as 334. Then you're talking parlay material. And I've already got Floyd back end of a couple of parlays. That's how I'm approaching this fight because I'm not laying, you know, minus 400. I'm not laying $800 to win $200. But what I will do is I will attack the college games, and we'll get to that in a second. So a Colorado State money line, Floyd Mayweather parlay, Teddy. A Hawaii Warrior. Hawaii Warriors +2. Floyd parlay. Yeah, but we'll get to that. in a second. But, yeah, it shocks me, Teddy, that they're saying that bigger, like the betting handle is what's surprising me the most. I'm not surprised the public's buying into this. I'm surprised the betting handle is as big as it is. That's what's shocking to me.
Well, when you think about it, it makes perfect sense that the betting handle is what it is. And again, we're talking Super Bowl type numbers here in Las Vegas.
It might hit $100 million, Teddy, literally.
Oh, yeah. I mean,
and think about all the offshore and all the bookies. There's going to be billions of dollars on this fight.
Again, this is the biggest non-Super Bowl event that I can think of. You know, I mean, can you think of something that's gotten more hype than this or that's been more attracted more betting attention? There hasn't been a whole lot. So what's the skinny? You know, I mean, it's an enormous amount of hype. And you can understand why. McGregor's, you know, the MMA guys are like, you boxing guys are all old. And, you know, this is the new, McGregor's is as hip as it gets in that regards. And, of course, when you're offering prices on McGregor, like plus $4, plus $5, plus $6, plus $8, like we've seen throughout the course of the summer months with betting, of course the casual fan is going to get involved. McGregor's the guy they know. McGregor's the guy they like. They're getting a big plus price on him. And then you look at the other side of the equation. You know, everyone that's betting Mayweather is laying 450 or laying 5 or laying 6 or laying 8 to win a dollar on Mayweather. So the handle goes up there significantly. And all the boxing guys are like, there's no way. You know, there's no way McGregor can hit him. There's no way McGregor knock him out. So there's a ton of strong opinions. There's a big money line that attracts big wagers. That's why the handle is where it is. And, of course, we're talking about a fight that's been on the board here in Vegas, what, all summer long. I mean, it's been on the board since last spring. Hence, the handle slowly builds.
Yeah.
But it's been nonstop for weeks now.
All right, Teddy, let's jump in. Week 3 preseason, dress rehearsal time. Dolphins and Eagles tonight. Jay Cutler expected to play the half. They want to get him some reps with the first team offense. Eagles going to be playing the starters in the first half as well. On defensive side, Brandon Graham, Jordan Hicks are both going to be out. What do you make of this football game? I like the other game more than this one. We'll get to that in a second. But what do you make of this Fish-Eagle game tonight?
Well, I wouldn't be surprised if we see a little bit of offensive explosion in this contest. You know, I mean, we haven't seen a whole lot from Jay Cutler yet. Cutler only 3 of 6 for 24 yards against the Ravens last week. A real no-show in that game for Miami. And, you know, this is walkthrough time. This is push-come-to-shove time. I would expect to see Adam Gase and the Dolphins offense looking for a fairly aggressive a game plan in terms of getting Cutler plenty of opportunities tonight to throw the ball downfield. And, of course, you know, Matt Moore likely to get extended playing time in the second half. He's the veteran backup for Miami. Fails and Doherty have thrown a ton of passes, you know, 48 in the first two preseason games. Moore only 6, so I would anticipate we're going to see a whole lot of Matt Moore in the second half of this one. You like the concept of Moore, a proven NFL veteran, against backup defenders. And for, you know, Philadelphia, you know, they got to work on the passing game. They have to chuck downfield. You know, Jeffrey and Smith haven't done much in the preseason from Wentz. They have Matt McGloin behind Wentz as a veteran QB who's capable of throwing downfield. I wouldn't be surprised at all to see this game turn into a little bit of a shootout. I like the over in this one.
Over? I like where you go with that, actually. I was considering it. I don't think I put it on the list. Put it on the board, boys. Put it on the board. All right, so Carolina and Jacksonville. The timing's interesting on this one because, you know, the big buzz last night was the fact that Chad Henne was named starting quarterback for this football game. Now, similar to Deshaun Kizer being named starter, it's not a guarantee that you start the third. This is a competition, but clearly Bortles looks like his time in Jacksonville is done. Money's coming in on the Panthers, -1.5 right now. And I'm not just going to talk about the quarterback situation here, Teddy. But Leonard Fournette out again. Mr. All, the NFL is easy. Can't play again. All right, so Leonard Fournette is out. T.J. Yeldon is out. Marquise Lee is out. Defensive back A.J. Bouye is out. The Jags have some issues coming in here. You got Cam Newton will be playing tonight, makes his debut. Christian McCaffrey is looking like the hype is real right now, Teddy. You know, I don't know. Is it too obvious to like Carolina here?
Well, I don't know that it's too obvious, but if you ask me who does this game mean more to, it means more to Jacksonville than it does to Carolina. You know, I mean, this is a big game.
But does that matter to them? I mean, they're so bad. Does it matter that it means something to them?
They don't think they're so bad. And I think that's why Bortles has taken the criticism that he has from his teammates in training camp. They're looking around at the roster in the locker room saying, we're a playoff team if we get a decent quarterback. You know, all we have to do is a QB that doesn't screw up. You know, that can hit Allen Robinson, that can hit Allen Hurns, that can make plays. And obviously it's been a very rough preseason so far for Blake Bortles. But to say prior to week three of the preseason that the Jags are giving up on their QB of the future, I haven't gotten that sense yet. Not and we've seen what Henny can do. Henny's not the man, you know. He's not. And, of course, we talk about the purpose of this game. This is a legit competition for the starting QB job. When you have a legit competition for the starting QB job, starters play longer. The plays that coaches call tend to be designed a little bit better and practiced a little bit better. I like betting on those teams as opposed to betting against those teams at home after two bad preseason efforts. This might be a spot for the Jags. That being said, when you talk about the Derek Anderson, Joe Webb combination for Carolina, that's a pretty good preseason duo. And Webb is exactly the type of QB who can cover a point spread for you in the second half of a preseason ballgame.
Jags win total 6.5, -145 to the over. I have no idea why. Nate Hackett's a clueless moron, all right? They're not winning. You know, they're going to be like a lottery team. They're going to be in the Sam Darnold running at this rate. And they do have talent, but I don't have any faith in that coaching staff. All right, I like the Jags under 6.5. All right, Teddy, college football kicks off on Saturday. You and I kicked the tires a little bit. And, you know, like you said, you saw me this morning. I was drinking orange juice, you know, eating apples, bananas. I plan on tonight. I'm starting all today, Teddy. Tonight, no chicken tenders, no chicken wings, grilled chicken. You know, I'm not eating tofu. I'm not turning into a pinko commie hippie. But I'm just kidding. You know, I got to get energy for the football season. Drink more water, less soda, etc. And I'm going to show more discipline early in the week with these dumb college games. I'm not losing $1,400 on the ESPN Thursday night college game anymore, Teddy. Not happening this year.
Well, good luck with that. But certainly when we talk about I mean, that's the truth of it. Are you saying that now? Let's talk to you.
Yeah, you guys are both chirping at the same time. I got guys in my ear said, good luck with that. I told the story last night. You know, the Thursday night ESPN game, NC State versus Virginia or something. I'm like, oh, that's a crappy game, so I won't go big. 250. And I'm like, well, all right, I'll put 250 on the total just to balance it out. Then I got a nickel on it. Then I'm getting pissed off. And I'm like, well, all right, I'll put something at halftime. Well, I already got five, so I'm going to put five. Yeah, you know how many times it's happened to me? Next thing I know, I got $1,400 on a Western Michigan-Akron game on Tuesday night.
Yeah, no opinion on it. No opinion on it.
And a game I would never have bet if it was Saturday. You know what I'm saying? Sure. I'm not doing that. So we got Oregon State, Colorado State. Not forcing it. I'm going to sprinkle a Colorado State money line parlay with Floyd Mayweather. We got Hawaii at UMass. I don't understand the line movement on this one, Teddy. Money's coming in on UMass right now, and I don't really get that. We got Quinton Flowers and company laying 21.5 on the road in the Bay Area against San Jose State. And then we got Rice and Stanford in Australia for some reason. Two things. Why is Rice playing Stanford, and why the hell is it in Australia?
Rice played Stanford to close out the regular season last
year? I know. Why? That's so strange. And you remember last year, Cal opened the season against Hawaii in Australia. Why do they keep playing in Australia all the time?
Because Australia's giving them money to come down there and covering the cost to try to, build up tourism and build some love for Australia. Yeah. That's why the game's being played there. And, of course, the game last year was scheduled for September, but they ended up postponing it. It ended up being the last game of the season for Rice and the last game before for Stanford.
Yeah.
So this is right. Rice is playing Stanford back-to-back
games.
They
beat them by 24 in that one, Teddy, and it was a flat spot. They didn't care. What do you think? Stanford laying 30? You don't want to do it, but Rice are a high school team.
I can't lay 30 with them. Not in the spot for Stanford. Not given David. Look at David Shaw's track record week one. All right. He's not running up scores. not very often. And who do they have on deck? USC.
I know.
You know, they're playing thousands of miles from home. Admittedly, against a foe they dominated last year to close out the regular season, so they know him. You think Rice has their attention? Rice doesn't have their attention. If I'm playing that game, I can only take the Owls plus the 31. And that 31 is not going to be there. There's already money showing for Rice. If you like Rice, bet them sooner rather than later.
I think it goes over 50. It's kind of low. It's crazy, sort of. Is Hawaii the best bet of the day? That's how crappy this board is?
I mean, the Hawaii-UMass game, look, I understand conceptually why you like to see a situation where Hawaii is catching the, you know, Hawaii, a team that is playing a squad that they're better than. and they're catching points in that concept. But I'll tell you what. You know, you're talking about a team flying, what, 6,000 miles in a game they got a win to cover. Hawaii hasn't won a whole lot of games. I know they have more talent than UMass, but that was a significant wise guy move towards the Minutemen. Somebody knows something in this one. I'm not going to get involved.
Ted Savransky, check him out. You can get his picks over at sportsmemo.com. You can watch his videos over at sbr.com, Sports Pit with Paulie Howard. It's always a pleasure, Teddy. You know what? I was talking with Dave. I think if you've got time, me and Dave, we were talking about you, me, and Dave actually meeting. Dave's all gung-ho. He's fighting. He's got football fever, right? Dave's like 22.
We all do.
He's like 22 again. And usually it's me bothering him. Dave, can we do a quick video hit? Dave's like, Gabe, if you don't mind, maybe we'll get together and do a video hit with Teddy over at a sports book or something. I'm like, hey, why not, Dave? Let's rock and roll.
I can't wait till you come down, Gabe. Should be a lot of fun.
I'll see you next week.
Right on, buddy.
This is Ted Savransky with us. Sorry, we'll take a quick break. Joe Lisi is going to join us next.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one when you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engle, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all-pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
Game time decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. All right, as I stated off the top of the program, the countdown is on, man. We've got NFL regular season around the corner. We've got Floyd Mayweather and Conor McGregor on Saturday night in the biggest fight ever as far as the betting handle and the hype is concerned. And the man that joins us right now can care less about either two of those events. I don't even think Joe Lisi knows there's a boxing match on Saturday. Joe's like, big event Saturday night? Yeah, I know. Rice is playing Stanford in Australia. That's what Joe Lisi thinks the big event is on Saturday. Go for the twos. Joe Lisi, also a member of the Fantasy Sports Network. Last year, him and Rich did a great job covering college football on the radio side of things. This year, we're bringing it to the television side of things, including the Dish Network. And I'll be joining the boys with my best bets and line moves. We'll bring a gaming perspective and a betting perspective to the program with Joe Lisi and Rich Sermonello starting this Saturday morning at 10 a.m. I can't wait. Joe, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Gabe. As mentioned, I'm chomping at the bit for week number one, and I do know there's a fight in Vegas, but college football will take front and center stage this Saturday.
Yeah, you'll have the football game on the big screen and the boxing on the small screen. So let's get right down to business. So every Saturday morning, 10 o'clock, a two-hour show, we're going to be going over all the big games. You and Rich Sermonello will have player interviews, coaches interviews, analysis, predictions. And then I'll join you guys with my best bets. I can't wait to get this thing kicked off.
Oh, it should be a real special show. We're going to cover all the top 25 games, Gabe, every conference. This is what it's all about. We're going to be full throttle from now until the end of the year, and that's why college football is the best game in town.
All right, so Saturday's storylines. Let's jump into Saturday's games. It's not the most glamorous board, but nevertheless, there's still some intriguing matchups and storylines to look at. Have the Beavers improved? You know, can Coach Anderson get this thing going up to four wins last year? That Rams offense was freaking potent down the stretch, Joe. They put up 48 points per game in the last six games of the season, and they got a lot of those guys back, including Nick Stevens at quarterback, deep backfield, etc. We got Hawaii. I think Hawaii's got some talent this year. Can they win on the mainland? This is a winnable football game for them against UMass. We got Quinton Flowers, who's a Heisman Trophy sleeper, in my opinion. And I'm telling you guys right now, I think the South Florida Bulls are going to go 12-0, 11-1 at the worst. And then we got Stanford and Rice wrapping it up in Australia. What are some of the storylines you're looking at?
Yeah, I mean, I think you brought them up. I mean, I'm very high on Oregon State and Gary Anderson this year. I mean, they lost eight games in 2016 by 15 points per game. They cut that down from 2015 where they lost by 24 points per game. They have a new quarterback in Luton. But you look at this Colorado State defense, Gabe, in that matchup, they allowed eight of their 13 opponents to rush for over 200 yards. They were 2-6 in those matchups and lost those games by 14 points per game. So that's the matchup you want to see play out. Can Oregon State run the football against Colorado State's defense? And more importantly, could Colorado State challenge a very young, inexperienced Oregon State secondary? We'll see how it plays out.
I got to believe there's going to be some points put up on the board in this football game. You just mentioned it. The total is 58.5, Joe. That's high for an NFL game, not extremely high for a college football game. And as we stated, this Rams offense can go up and down the field. But at the same point in time, you know, Oregon State should have some success. You know, the Rams are favored in this game, and it's 3.5. It's going up to 4 in some spots right now. But it's still a Pac-12 team against the Mountain West team. So, you know, the Beavers should be able to have some success offensively as well. I think it's a higher scoring game that you're going to have to get into the 30s to win.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I think when you look at this team overall in Oregon State, they do have a JUCO quarterback in Luton, which Colorado State does not have a lot of game film on. So that's a real benefit for Oregon State and Gary Anderson. And when you look at Colorado State overall, I mean, they are opening a new stadium. So I think that's why you're seeing the line move. It opened up at 3. It's up to 4 now. But I like the physicality on the offensive defensive lines of Gary Anderson's crew. And I think they strike the upset, even though the altitude could be an issue. I like the Beavers in this week one matchup.
You know, I was talking with Ted Savransky earlier in Vegas and talking about, I was surprised to see the money coming in on UMass in this spot. UMass, you know, arguably one of the poorer teams. You can debate where they are. I think Phil Steele has them ranked like 111th or so, which might be a little bit high for them. You know, interesting game there. I'm surprised the money's coming in on the Minutemen in that spot. And then we got Quinton Flowers, you know, interesting, against the San Jose State. That should be a pretty entertaining football game as well, as Flowers is an explosive player. He might not win the Heisman, but it wouldn't shock me if he's sitting there on presentation day.
Yeah, without a doubt. I mean, he's a sleeper, in my opinion. He went off at about 100-1. I think he's got great value, Gabe. I mean, you're talking about a quarterback that passed for 24 touchdowns, rushed for another 18 touchdowns last year, has the athleticism of a Lamar Jackson, and he's the main reason why South Florida rushed for over 200 yards in 12 of their 13 games last year. So he's a dynamic player and has the Bulls as a possible Cinderella this upcoming year. And you mentioned that matchup in UMass and Hawaii, some great quarterback play with Andrew Ford of UMass and Drew Brown. Those are two quarterbacks that you have to keep an eye on.
All right, so let's talk about some of the bigger matchups on Saturday, September the 2nd, when the big boys actually kick off. I'll be in Las Vegas that Saturday morning, Joe. I'm just going for a quick 48-hour junket. I got to enter into the super contest. But this year, Will Hill has a college football pick'em contest, Joe. $500 entry fee. You pick 7 college football games against the spread on a weekly basis. And at the end of the year, winner gets $75,000 guaranteed. So I'm going to be entering that contest as well. We'll have a lot of time, a lot of fun talking about that on the show over the year. My best bets will pretty much be my contest picks, Joe. Right? So.
Yeah.
So yeah,
You gotta go with it, Gabe. You gotta go with it.
Well, that'd be playing for money. Yeah, those would be my best bets if they're gonna be for money. So Saturday, September the 2nd, a game I'm intrigued by is Michigan and Florida. You know, this game's been taken off the board right now because the uncertainty of the Florida Gators. So Antonio Callaway has been suspended, their best wide receiver. And, you know, McElwain doesn't know who his quarterback is going to be. And now he said yesterday that all three quarterbacks are going to play against Michigan most likely. And you've been around football long enough to know, Joe, when you got three quarterbacks, they say, oh, we got three quarterbacks, not one. It means one of them's not, you know, any good. And that's the deal. If you got three quarterbacks, it means you don't have one quarterback. I don't know what's going on. I would imagine they would have been able to figure this out by now. But, you know, they get Michigan in, what, 9 days now, and they don't know who their quarterback is.
Yeah, I said it before that as long as Luke Del Rio was healthy, Gabe, I thought he gave the Gators the best chance to win ballgames last year, and they really performed when Luke Del Rio was healthy last year. They now have Felipe Franks and Malik Zaire that come into that program, but I think it really comes down to the rushing attack of Florida. I mean, last year they only rushed for 128 yards on the ground, and in the last six games, Gabe, they did not have a rushing touchdown in 2016. Put a lot of pressure on the offensive line, and more importantly, put a lot of pressure on the quarterback position to make plays to stretch opposing defenses vertically. When you look at Michigan overall last year, Gabe, even though they lose a ton of defensive talent, they held 8 of 13 opponents under 100 yards rushing, and they won those games, 8 straight games, by 37 points per game. So that's the matchup that you want to see play out in their three losses to Iowa, Ohio State, and Florida State, though. Michigan allowed over 100 yards in those games. So that's the week one matchup that you want to see play out. But I'm still leaning for the revenge factor to Jim McElwain and the Gators in that matchup.
Yeah, I know. Michigan kicked the snot out of them a couple of years ago in the bowl game. But I'm looking at this, and if Michigan have a weakness, Joe, it's they have a young defense. You know, last year, as a whole, Michigan, 76% of their starts were by seniors. Juniors or seniors, guys that aren't there anymore. Michigan lost, 13 guys to the NFL this year. They set a record. 13 guys. But Florida's offense is so pedestrian, they're not going to be able to exploit that. You know, I'm a Michigan fan. I'd be more worried, Joe, if we were playing a team that could throw the rock around a lot and stuff. Then I'd be like, all right, we might have problems dealing with this with a young secondary and a young defense. But Florida, well, whatever, man. They can't throw the ball. We're going to be able to stack the line. We got Gary back. Harbaugh's done a great job recruiting. And then conversely, I think Michigan are being a little bit underrated this year when I see them in the polls. You know, Spate's a good quarterback. He's a smart quarterback. He's in his senior year right now. He understands what Harbaugh wants him to do. I think Michigan are going to be able to run the football. And they've got some real stud young kids at the wide receiver position right now. I like Michigan to win this football game.
Yeah, I mean, I can't argue with the points that you mentioned, Gabe, but I still like the speed of Florida. I mean, the one matchup that I look at in this ballgame, week number one, will be Wilton Spate against the secondary of the Gators. They held all 13 opponents under 58% completion percentage last year, and they held 7 of 13 opponents under 50%. So that's the matchup that you want to see play out. They've lost a ton of talent on the defensive side of the ball over the last couple of years, but Jim McElwain has coached that talent up, and I think that's the matchup you want to see play out. I'm still leaning towards the SEC and Florida in this matchup. We're bucking heads on week number one. I like the Gators.
Joe Lisi, GoForTheTwo.com, Fantasy Sports Radio and Television Network. Always a pleasure, Joe. We'll speak on Saturday.
Anytime, Gabe. Love the show.
There's Joe Lisi with us. We'll take a quick break. Ian Cameron, Babano joins us next. More football.
Quarterback to receiver hookups, running back depth analysis, rookie values in dynasty leagues, deep sleepers, training camp battles. These are just a few of the in-depth features you will find inside the 2017 RotoExperts.com Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. And it's power-packed with so much more, including fully sortable player projections and a custom cheat sheet generator. Plus, you get a full year of in-season coverage as a bonus. Get the Exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package now at rotoexperts.com. Enter free radio at checkout for your special discount.
All right, game time decisions on Fantasy Sports Network continues. I always tell Camera 2 Drew, stop looking at your phone. All right, so during the breaks, he goes right to it, though. So at least he's given us something here. I guess LeSean McCoy... just said that Kaepernick's not good enough to be signed with all the baggage that he brings. So that'll be interesting to see how people are going to turn on LeSean McCoy. And for the record, I was going to do the intro about Kaepernick, but you know, whatever. But I saw that they had that protest yesterday for Kaepernick. That's not going to help Kaepernick. That wasn't a Kaepernick protest. That was like a terrorist protest or something. Like that Linda Sasour chick, she declared a jihad on America. And this chick's walking out of Kaepernick jersey. That ain't going to help you, Cap. I support Cap, but I don't support that protest yesterday. All right, and we also got breaking news. The Hamilton Tiger Cats have decided to suck even harder than they already do. June Jones has been named their head coach. Like, all right. Well, it sucks, though. They got a bye week this week. I was like, let's bet against them. June Jones doesn't know what the hell he's doing, all right? The guy got lucky once with Hawaii. Let's bring in Ian Cameron right now, a.k.a. Babano, sportsmemo.com. You can watch his videos over at sbr.com. We're going to have to ask you, though, Babano, please try to refrain from using profanity on the program today. This is a family network. Now, I don't know what kind of smut you guys talk, like how you talk on your SBR videos and stuff. But, you know, this is the Fantasy Sports Network, Babano. So you try to watch the profanity. I know you're upset about the Tie Cats, but, you know.
One more time. Babano back on GTD. Good to be with you.
Yeah, you got three strikes, Babano. You got three strikes.
You know what? SBR, we talk a ton of profanity. It's unbelievable. Everybody there. It's like anything goes. You're going to love it, Morenci, when you hit that platform on a daily basis. But good to be talking CFL. And, yeah, the big news is Ken Austin stepping aside. He's still the VP of football ops, but he's appointed June Jones as head coach, and a little bit of a stunner today.
Yeah, I don't know if I saw this coming, actually. I don't know if it's a stunner. You know, when they brought June Jones in, it was pretty clear that he wasn't going to be around there to be the assistant. But it's just stupid. Like, I don't really see what June Jones, you know, Ken Austin might have health issues, and I get that perspective of it. But it's just kind of dumb. You know, I don't see what June Jones is going to bring. He's not a CFL lifer. Like, what's he going to bring to the table here? It's just going to lead to more chaos. I wish that they were playing this week so I could bet against them again right now. This would be ugly. Like, I don't know if anyone's never won a game in the CFL. It's pretty hard not to win a game in the CFL, and the season's so freaking long. But Hamilton actually might not. I don't have any faith in June Jones at all. But nevertheless, we got the Bombers and we got the Alouettes playing tonight. Yeah, you know, this is pretty simple, pretty much. You get West versus East. It's hard not to like the team from the West.
There's no way I can go against Winnipeg in a pick 'em price range when the West 17-2-1 straight up against the East head-to-head this season. And when you look at it with Montreal, a big step back last week, 38-6 loss to the Toronto Argonauts, blown out, just beaten up on both sides of the ball, outgained by over 300 yards in that football game. Darian Durant and the offense completely had the blanket put over them by that Argo defense. And conversely, on the flip side, Montreal's defense really struggled with Ricky Ray in the passing attack. Now you got to go up against Matt Nichols and an equally potent, more potent Winnipeg offense. Darvin Adams, Weston Dressler, going to have to stop them. Andrew Harris has been fantastic the last couple of games. Running the football, catching it out of the backfield. He's been a man possessed in that backfield for Winnipeg. Tough matchup here for Montreal. Winnipeg's defense still a little suspect. Winnipeg scored 33 or more points in six straight games. I like the over. I think we see points.
Total's 55 in this game. I always lean overs. I'm not a big under guy, so I can't disagree. I didn't have the total posted for this game. I wasn't going to take it, but I get where you're going. I do like the Bombers. I got a horrible track record, and the Alouettes are my favorite team in the CFL, guys, but I seem to be wrong all the time with them. I underestimated them, and then I overestimate them, and like I'm all over the place with them, but I've been in a groove with them. I knew they would get their ass handed them to the Argos, but I think the Bombers can win this game, although the Bombers are due for a flat spot, but nevertheless, I think the Bombers are better.
Yeah, one quick thing about this game, too. Meaningful revenge for Montreal. They absolutely blew that game in Winnipeg a few weeks ago, lost 41-40. Revenge for Montreal, you know they'll be up for it.
Yeah, that's true. There were a lot of points in that game, too. So you got the Riders and the Eskimos. I look at this, and at first just jumped off, I sort of see 5.5. I'm like, it's kind of low. Feels kind of low for Edmonton to only be 5.5-point favorites. The Riders are a good team at home. They're a horrible road team.
They are, but they're saying all the right things. They had a good week of practice, and I don't like the spot for Edmonton. Not at all. Not one bit. Losing your first game of the season. last week against Winnipeg. This is a sandwich game. You've got Calgary on Labor Day coming up. A little look-ahead spot. The injuries are still mounting on this team. They suffered more injuries last week against Winnipeg. Now, this week, they do get Zylstra back. That'll help, no question. But they're still depleted at linebacker, depleted on the defensive line. Marcus Howard's not coming back. The secondary's still gutted. Mike Riley hasn't played as well last 2 weeks. Four touchdowns, three interceptions. He's starting to make some poorer decisions now as the injuries keep mounting around him. I think it's a troubling spot here for Edmonton. I get it. Saskatchewan's been a train wreck on the road, 0-3 straight up on the road, but they don't have to win this game to cover the number. I think they'd take advantage of a vulnerable Edmonton team and make this game at least competitive.
This game's only tomorrow, so I'm not going to give a pick now, but you know, Edmonton have won the last four against these guys in Edmonton. They pretty much own them. They've won seven of the last 12. Tough to trust the Riders, man.
Two of the last three have been very close, though, including one in overtime. So if Saskatchewan's going to do a thing off on the road this season, it's got to be now into this great spot, vulnerable Edmonton, and off a bye for Saskatchewan. If they're going to do anything on the road, it's got to be in this game.
This one, the total's 54. I lean towards the over in this game as well. All right, we got the Lions and the Red Blacks, and I keep telling you on a weekly basis, the Lions blow. Like, they're overrated, they're flaky, they are what they are. They look good, they'll make plays, they can't play for 60 minutes. Meanwhile, you got the Ottawa Redblacks. Redblacks had horrible luck. They set a CFL record, they lost the first eight games, decided by 7 points or whatnot. Just the football gods and the bounces, it almost has to start to go their way. I like Ottawa here. My only concern is BC aren't going to lose every damn week. You know, that's the thing. You know, they're 3-2 on the road. They're not a horrible road team. I do like the over in this game, 55. I think there'll be some points put up on the board here, but I do lean Ottawa as well. I don't trust BC.
If you're betting against BC here, you're betting against a team that hasn't lost three straight in 2 years. That's the 2015 season, the last time BC lost three straight. I don't believe it happens here. Come on. Ottawa's got to show me more than you can beat the Hamilton Ticats to prove to me you're back on track. This is still just a two-win football team. I don't trust them. Not even maybe here in this particular spot.
Let me ask you, what's Ottawa's record against the spread?
Ottawa's got a good point spread record. There's no question.
What's BC's record against the spread?
BC's in the tougher division, Gabe, top to bottom. You know that.
There's only nine teams in the league.
The West 17-2-1 straight up, though, against the East. They've been top to bottom. It's been a superior division year after year in the CFL. And BC is 3-0 straight up and against the spread against the East this season. All on the road. Beat Toronto on the road. Beat Montreal on the road. Beat Hamilton on the road. Go ahead.
Wally Bono is a money burner, Babano. It's to say he's a money burner. The Lions are money burners. They're underachievers. That's what they are. Like, they're underachievers. But listen, they only got to win the game here. Yeah. They could beat Ottawa, but I'm telling you, like, the Lions ain't going nowhere this year. Argos and Stamps, we got 1 minute, but battle. Point spread is 10. Yeah, it's just a tough one, this one. I don't really want to lay 10, but I don't trust Toronto here either.
Yeah, I don't really love anything on this game. I will say this. Calgary Bull Levi Mitchell was terrible last week. He was dealing with shoulder problems with his throwing shoulder in that loss, or in that win, rather, against BC 21-17. They won it because of the defense, and he's had some issues in practice this week with that shoulder. Dickinson and Bull Levi Mitchell are giving you this ridiculous, inane jibber-jabber saying, oh, he's okay, he's fine, I'll be fine, I'll be ready to go. Well, hold on now, Bo and Coach. He was awful in the game last week. 15 of 31, sub-50% completions. That's almost unheard of for Bo Mitchell. One interception, no touchdowns, none, zero. I don't trust Mitchell here in this spot. You know, I think the shoulder is a legitimate problem for him because he played so poorly last week. I don't want to lay 10 with Calgary. They've got Edmonton on deck. That being said, Toronto's going to have to show me that they can go on the road, beat Calgary. Calgary's whipped them three straight times dating back to the start of last season. Probably a game from a side perspective that I'll pass on. A lean to the under, especially if Mitchell ain't right.
All right, there's Ian Cameron. You can get his picks over at sportsmemo.com. Watch his videos at SBR. Thanks for the time, Babano.
Good stuff, Morency. Good luck this weekend.
All right, so at least Babano didn't swear this week. Let's work for the boys in the booth. We come back with our plays of the day next.
Many fantasy football players are focusing on their upcoming drafts later this summer. But the smart fantasy owner knows there's another big draft before the one where you pick the players. The first step in building a winner for the 2017 season is to draft the best team of experts for your preseason prep. So make the right selection and pick the squad at rotoexperts.com by purchasing the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package. The Roto Experts roster features FSWA inaugural Hall of Famer and former Fantasy Football Writer of the Year Scott Engel, nationally acclaimed top ranker Jake Seeley, 2015 and 16 FSWA award winners Bobby McMahon and Brandon Murchison, and many more analysis with impressive stats. They bring you a draft package bursting with all pro analysis and in-season coverage that'll guide you to title glory. So pick the team to help you build the right team. Make your first important selection of the 2017 season now and get the exclusive Edge Fantasy Football Package from rotoexperts.com. Be sure to enter promo code FREERADIO at checkout for your discount.
It's time for our plays of the day, and the countdown is on, guys. The start of the football season is around the corner. I'm going to have a ton of great prop bets for week one. You want to win your fantasy league, go over to rotoexperts.com. Get 10% off, promo code RAGE. Dodgers, bad break last night, but it is what it is. You notice the Dodgers, they're 9-1 in their last 10 for eternity. So that's what the Dodgers do. They'll win 9 in a row, they'll lose one, they'll win 9 in a row. Give me the Dodgers minus 145. Philadelphia Eagles here this evening. I prefer on the money line, but we'll lay it. I don't really want to lay the 3.5, but I think they're going to win. Game's going to go over the number. Love the Carolina Panthers. Best bet of the night. And give me the Winnipeg Blue Bombers to beat the Alouettes. May the winners be yours.